Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The postpartum brain is such a real thing, and it is something that I am currently experiencing a lot of now, 5 months postpartum. Today, we're going to talk to Dr. Nikki Pensack. She has a book out called Rattled, How to Calm New Mom Anxiety with the Power of the Postpartum Brain. So let's get right in it. I have a lot of questions. Thank you, Dr. Nikki, for joining us. I know you're a little under the weather, but I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us, especially about a topic, the postpartum brain. For me, I'm like in the thick of the postpartum brain.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. So your book is called Rattled, How to Calm New Mom Anxiety with the Power of the Postpartum Brain. I mean, I want to know all about that title and also the reframing of the postpartum brain from being mush and chaotic to being powerful.
Right. I mean, there's so much there to unpack.
Yeah.
So I wanted to write this book to empower mothers, to give them the reality of what's happening in the postpartum brain, and so they can understand that it's a huge opportunity. And when we nurture it and it goes right, it's incredible, right? It's challenging and it's brilliant. And so the stigma that we know of mom brain, that it's this derogatory term, is there's not really a lot of strong support in the research with mothers actually having cognitive boosts instead of deficits. But we all know that mom brain in society is a deficit. So I'm trying to rebrand that as well by sharing the science.
How do you rebrand that? Because I think whether you're freshly postpartum, whether you're pregnant and you have pregnancy brain, which is also a thing, or you're 5 months postpartum, or just have like the chaos of young children or child around you, you know, oftentimes us moms are like, oh, I forgot to do this, or I forgot, or, you know, oh, I can't think of this. I must have mom brain. So how are you trying to reframe it from, oh, I'm forgetting something or I'm messing something up, to actually reframing it as being like a really positive, powerful time?
Yeah. So when you have a baby, your brain changes rapidly, fine-tuning and priming itself for new learning. And you're building all these new neural networks that you've never had before. So I like to give the example of even just changing a diaper, right? You have to figure out what's the right diaper for a blowout, what's going to be good for nighttimes, daytimes, how tight do you have to make it, what brand, right? And so there's a lot that goes into it. And so imagine that times a million with all these exponential tasks that mothers are expected to learn overnight, right? You become a mother overnight, but the psychological process actually lasts longer. And we call it an adaptation so that we can give mothers permission to sort of understand that their brain is going through these immense neurological changes and we need time to let that process. And so the stigma of mommy brain or having that lapse in memory, the subjective experience is very real, but objectively, it's not really founded in a lot of strong research that mothers' brains are deficits. They're actually on a path to brilliance, right? But they're vulnerable during this time because actually the neuroplastic changes that work for you to help you become a better mother make you more vulnerable to experiencing postpartum depression and anxiety. So your brain could be doing everything it's supposed to do. And so this is what I want mothers to understand, is that the better mother psychologically or neurologically speaking, the more vulnerable you are to postpartum. So it's nothing that you did specifically. It's not your fault. And I think mothers need to hear that and be validated.
How long is your brain considered to be a postpartum brain?
It's a great question. I think we're all trying to figure that out, right? So we know that there's a paucity of research in women's health. And so the studies that we have go up to 2 years postpartum, but I've talked to several experts in the field doing the neuroplasticity research, and it's really arbitrary. That cutoff is arbitrary. So I see mothers all the time in my practice come to me even a year out, even a year and a half out, right? So it's just really arbitrary. It can be any time after, between birth and years after, a couple years after.
And when you talk about postpartum brain, yes, we think about it as being, oh, I forgot this, I can't remember that. But can you explain what's actually going on in the brain that puts it into a category of labeling it a postpartum brain, aside from the fact that the brain is tired because we're tired and we have a lot going on and trying to adjust to taking care of a little one and ourselves and this new role of motherhood?
Yeah. I mean, looks, I mean, without getting into the nitty gritty brain changes, but some parts get smaller, some parts get larger. We're basically shedding useless neural networks in the brain that we don't need for taking care of the baby. So I like to say that the brain is basically Marie Kondoing the mind to give moms a leg up in caregiving, right? It's getting rid of what it doesn't need, right? And it's really putting all its resources into developing what you do need to focus and attune to the baby's needs.
And when we are postpartum, and even like when we have a 2.5-year-old or just young kids in general, parents overall, I would say the ones that I talk to who are loving parenthood, there are days where we're more tired, where kids are up at night. If you have sick kids, if you have teething, you know, there's a variety of different moments that leave new parents or seasoned parents in a state of exhaustion. Can you explain what's going on in the brain there that would help us reframe the kind of maybe feeling of it being mush?
What's happening there is that your brain is just really fine-tuning and priming itself and really developing and learning your baby at the same time. And you have to give it time to catch up to that and to learn. It's a whole new thing that you've never done before. And so it's just developing at an exponential rate. But with this exponential period of neuroplasticity comes great vulnerabilities, and that's where the risks for postpartum come in.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Class is now in session. And the UPS store is here to help you ace arriving on campus. Our certified packing experts can pack everything you need, from desktops to decor. Plus, when you pack and ship with us, you get our exclusive pack and ship guarantee. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Restrictions and limitations apply. To get a 20% off packing coupon and for full details, visit theupsstore.com/packing.
When you use the word power in your title, the power of the postpartum brain, can you talk a little bit about what that word means when you're referring to the postpartum brain specifically?
Yeah, I mean, mom brains are brilliant. I fully believe that. But I think that there are so many landmines that get in the way. We have a maternal mental health crisis in the United States where 1 in 5 women experience postpartum. And so we're missing a lot of those women that can really benefit from the power of the postpartum brain period. And I break it down into 3 parts. So the first is having postpartum mental health care and mental health intact. And I have a proactive postpartum mental health plan that can help put parents in the best place possible for the postpartum period. And then I talk about matrescence, the developmental stage of becoming a mother, and understanding that your identity changes, your relationships change, you're experiencing a million emotional changes, your hormones change, right? You're experiencing mom guilt and mom shame and mom rage, and then baby bonding, throw that in there. And then there's back to work transition. So there's so much that goes into this developmental phase of becoming a mother. And I think we need to recognize that. And then the third part of the book, I've rattled where I talk about self-directed neuroplasticity. I talk about the normative trauma of becoming a mother, right? So everything in your body and your brain changes overnight from a cellular level to a social level, right? It's a direct traumatic experience, basically, but it's a normative experience, but it is profound. And so I talk about the power of post-traumatic growth, even from a normative trauma, but also if you talk to any mother, they have a story, right? I'm sure you hear it all the time, where they've had disappointments or unexpected things happen in their birth experience and birth trauma. We know about 13 to 44% of mothers experience birth trauma. And so post-traumatic growth can occur after a trauma. Not that we ever wanted that trauma, but there's a way to sort of facilitate that and nurture that so that we can get more mothers to the other side of trauma. And I had my second, and while I wrote this book, it was COVID. And I know you had your second during that time as well. And so that was really a global trauma. That was part of my trauma. And then my son was in the NICU for 5 weeks. So I share, you know, my personal narrative, my experience going through that while also being a clinical psychologist and diagnosing myself in real time and also following the advice that I give all my patients and setting them up. But I want parents to understand that, you know, on paper, I looked like the person who would not experience postpartum, that I would be sort of immune with my background and expertise. And yet there I was in crisis and on the floor of my son's room, just crying, curled up in the fetal position, wondering who's going to take care of my babies as the world's worst circumstances were happening outside my door. And so to get to the other side of that very quickly, you know, I went to the research to try and find out what was going on. And that's where I uncovered this story that's not being told, but everyone needs to hear.
For people who had kids during the COVID pandemic, is that kind of in like a totally different league of postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, and then like postpartum COVID? Because the things that we were anxious about during COVID or experiencing in anxiety during COVID was unheard of for everyone else who had ever been postpartum. And today, during people's postpartums, it's almost like it was such a unique time to have a baby that it's almost like the people that had babies during that time can really only relate to that level of postpartum anxiety.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
That's always kind of been her thing, right? Drawing?
You have to promise not to freak out.
Amber drew that?
She's working through some stuff.
You know, feelings aren't bad. When you get angry, sad, or scared, put it in here, where it can't hurt anyone.
Here's the thing. Life is all about balancing the good and the bad.
I saw an eyeball with legs.
Every part of that was horrifying.
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.
I mean, certainly I can agree with that from my personal experience. And we're seeing that in the literature. So we know that postpartum rates increased during COVID. And now second time mothers who gave birth the first time during COVID are basically going through trauma now due to all of that unprocessed trauma during COVID. And COVID was its sort of unique situation. But I also think it was a great opportunity, right? So it was a really a test of resilience and really this opportunity to shed light on no matter how bad circumstances can be, you can still feel better. You can still help yourself despite what's going on in the real world.
For me, during my postpartum, I feel really lucky that I live next to my family. I'm able to be around my family, not so much the first time, but definitely the second and third time. And they provide me with support and also checking in. I also have an incredibly tuned in husband that, you know, talks to me, checks in. We divide and conquer with the kids. But I feel like during the COVID times, I had other friends who had kids and I had their husbands reaching out to me and being like, is this normal? What do I do here? Is it okay to be crying? I remember at one point I said to my mom, like, sometimes I just sit in my rocking chair and I'm just crying. Is that normal? Because there's such gray area about what is postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety or just baby blues or just like your hormone come down, what's normal, what's not normal. For people who are wondering how to be a support system for either their significant other, their partner, their friend, family member, what is the best way, in your opinion, to go about that without coming off as being trying to label someone with something when they're not in a position to hear that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Well, one, I think we do have very clear criteria for what constitutes postpartum anxiety and depression and also baby blues. Baby blues last a week or two at most. So if it's going beyond that, then you know you're entering into like the postpartum depression anxiety territory. And I think that what is unfortunate is that the onus still falls on mothers and parents in general to seek out help when they need it, right? And so there's no catch-all. There's no streamlined mental health care in our healthcare system for postpartum. And I think we'll get there one day, but we're not there yet. So what I like to advocate for, and I know it's kind of hard to hear, but I set up a proactive postpartum mental health care plan where I tell parents to, once you pee on that stick, right, find yourself a mental health prescriber and therapist just in case you need it. So that way you have that safety net in place and they can explain to you, one, your unique personal risk factors for potentially experiencing postpartum, but also they'll be checking in with you at the intervals that are appropriate based on your situation, right? If you have a very stressful situation or it's not stressful, right? Just the normative experience, you're still vulnerable to experience postpartum, but you have that touch point in place. And also, you don't want to scramble last minute to find a doctor. It's really, sometimes doctors have months waiting lists, right? And you can't problem solve when you're in that depression and anxiety state. And so it's best to have that sort of streamline and set up for yourself just as a safety net, just in case you need it. And if you don't, great. But also it's an objective thought partner when you do, or when you're just going through the process of matrescence and this huge developmental phase, right? So we have so much education and support and information about this developmental stage of adolescence, but your brain is actually changing more rapidly during matrescence. And so why wouldn't we, you know, I want everyone to understand this developmental phase the way that they do adolescence and be able to sort of set yourself up for success and resources.
For people who feel like there's a little bit of a gray area with what some key factors are for somebody who's experiencing postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety, can you kind of list the key describers of both of those?
Sure, absolutely. So, but what I would also say is that it's best to have a postpartum expert assess you, because here's the thing, I work with a ton of moms and parents that are very high functioning. So it's not like your typical clinical depression where you're laying in bed, you can't get out of bed and you're not functioning, right? So you're a mom, right? You have to take care of the baby. And so I see a lot of moms and parents that are getting by and doing the day to day. But if you scratch the surface, right, they're feeling hopeless. They're having trouble sleeping, even though that's part of the normative experience of having a baby. It's when they have the opportunity to sleep, they can't sleep, right? Loss of interest, feeling disconnected, trouble concentrating, suicidal thoughts, right? So those are all like the hallmark symptoms of depression, but you may not be able to see it from the outside. I have mothers that look like it's all put together, right? And actually, those are the moms I worry about the most. We have this like thought in the field that if a mom comes very dressed up and all done to your office, like postpartum, then like, okay, what's really going on? She's really trying to keep it together. But often those are the ones that are suffering the most on the inside. And then with anxiety, so our brain is just changing so much to be hypervigilant, to protect our babies, to keep them alive, right? That's our job. That's what's happening postpartum. And so we're going to be aware and more aware of all the dangers, right? But mothers are actually vulnerable to experience postpartum OCD more so than the general population. So the base rate is 2% in the general population and 9% in postpartum mothers. And you can see that your brain is going in that direction to sort of protect your baby and scan the environment and avoid any potential dangers. But that can go haywire, right? So a lot of moms that like, oh, get dismissed, right, with postpartum OCD because the doctor's like, oh, that's just a part of being a mom, right? You have a lot more to think about, a lot more responsibility, right? Very well-intentioned providers are dismissing moms with their symptoms of anxiety because they think, oh, this is just normal new mom worries. But at the same time, if you have a specialist that understands postpartum and can really assess you, then they're going to know the difference between what's normal mom worries and what's in the anxiety threshold. Right? It's not productive. And if it's interfering with your ability to feel connected to your baby or go about your day or just interfering with your ability to enjoy certain moments, then I would just get assessed, right, by the doctors. They want to do their jobs. We want to take care of you. And unfortunately, again, the onus still falls on mothers to seek out that support. And that's why I lay out that proactive postpartum mental health plan.
For people who want to be able to go find someone to get assessed or to find someone to check in with, where is the best place for people to go to do that?
There are a lot of great resources popping up. So Postpartum Support International has free support groups, and they also have a database of providers that are certified in postpartum mental health, and you can search by state and in your area. And they also offer like free support groups for anyone. Really, if you like, there's a group for you. And also the Motherhood Center in New York, I think, does same day triage. So if you call them, they will try to connect you with a provider that same day. So those are just two great resources.
Yeah, there's also so many great communities on social media. I mean, social media has obviously its pros and cons, especially for moms, but the openness of people experiencing certain forms of postpartum anxiety, depression, psychosis, postpartum OCD. There's a lot of different things that people can experience that a lot of people share openly, which is, I think, helpful for some people. For me, when I first saw your book, the rattled part of it, I related to that word with a lot of my friends in the mom groups that I'm in, of moms just feeling like, okay, I feel like I maybe one day I'm tapped out. One day I'm so happy and enjoying everything. The next day you're a little bit more tired. For people who just feel like, okay, today my brain feels like it needs a break and it just needs to chill. My brain's feeling rattled. What do you do?
Well, I provide a lot of science-backed strategies in the book. All of them are based on cognitive behavioral therapy and cognitive behavioral stress management. But I would say I love that the parent would be asking themselves, what do I need? What can I do? Right? That's the first step, is acknowledging that, hey, my mental health matters too. And if you're feeling burnt out, if you're feeling overstimulated, yes, we can help you in different ways take a break. Even if you can't physically take a break, you know, I walk you through different strategies like the 5-4-3-2-1 method of engaging with your surroundings and being present, more mindfulness exercises, slowing things down, repeating mantras in your head, things like having assertive communication with your partner to say like, can I take a break now? Or when would be a good time to take a break? And then lean into whatever coping strategies, whether it be exercise, or maybe you're not able to exercise as a new mom, you're not cleared, right? So what are your new coping strategies now? How is that going to, you know, help you, and to lean into them. And I provide, you know, a list of things that you can do as well. So it depends on the person, but I would say that there's just so much that you can do. And the first step is really acknowledging, hey, it's okay that I need a break and I'm feeling overstimulated. I mean, this is so hard and it's so much so quickly. And so to slow down and ask yourself, check in with yourself, what do I need right now? Because you can't serve from an empty vessel. And the more you take care of yourself, the better you'll be able to take care of your kids.
I love that. Thank you so much. This was so informative. I loved learning all of these different tips and tricks and just shifting the perspective of how we view our brains as moms and also postpartum moms, from, ugh, I'm having a postpartum brain, to, oh my God, I have a postpartum brain and it's so powerful and amazing. I think it's such a great shift in perspective and wording. So thank you so much. thank you so much to Dr. Nikki Pensack for all of the wisdom about postpartum brains and how we can help calm them.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Amber's drawings might be.
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the?
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.
That's always kind of been her thing, right? Drawing?
You have to promise not to freak out.
Amber drew that?
She's working through some stuff.
You know, feelings aren't bad. When you get angry, sad, or scared, put it in here, where it can't hurt anyone.
Here's the thing. Life is all about balancing the good and the bad.
I saw an eyeball with legs.
Every part of that was horrifying.
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.